Now, back to Hudson Valley Focus with Tom Sipas on The Beacon.
Hudson Valley Focus on The Beacon. As promised, Jesse Cerubi, Family Services, joins me. Good morning, Jesse.
Good morning, Tom. How nice to be here with you today. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm glad you're here with us. Can't believe that we've already... Labor Day 2025 is in the rearview mirror. I hope you've enjoyed a good summer.
I've had a great summer. Thank you. It was a lovely one. It ended up nice and sunny, and though we need some rain, it's been great to have some sunshine and clear air for a while at the end of summer.
Yeah, it sure has. Robbie and I were talking first thing this morning when I drove in at 5 o'clock this morning. The sky was crystal clear and the stars were out there. It was absolutely beautiful. So
gorgeous.
Well, now we're into September, and it's self-care awareness month. It's also emergency preparedness month, so I'll be having some folks on probably from the county to talk about that. And then you're getting even closer to 52 end stigma.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, and that's a real exciting upcoming, I would say, not even just an event, but a awareness-raising campaign and event for us at Family Services. Good stuff.
You know, it really is. And I know Robbie told you before we came on air that I don't expect you to be informed about this today, but I throw this out there for a future conversation. I came across a study this morning about the use of antidepressants, and particularly in young women. Holy Moses. Antidepressant dispensing to adolescents and young adults was rising before COVID-19 outbreak and rose 63.5% faster afterward. Change driven by increased antidepressant dispensing to females and occurred despite decreased dispensing to male adolescents. A 63% increase in a short time is shocking.
Yeah, well, I'd have to, I haven't heard that specific statistic, but I do know that since COVID in particular, there has been an incredible increase in the rate of anxiety and depression specifically among, I think it's among all young people,
yes,
but definitely among young women.
Yes.
Aged, 12 to 25 or so, is that like a teen to adolescent age range? And it is a pretty significant spike post-pandemic.
Yes.
Definitely.
So I didn't get a chance to do it this morning, but I am going to email you the link to this piece that I have from the National Institute of Health.
I'll read it, and let's definitely plan on talking about it. I'm sure there's many reasons for it. I mean, it's never going to be one thing that we can point our fingers at.
Right.
You know, it's a human situation, so it's a complex situation. I'd love to have the opportunity to learn more about it and then talk about it with you.
We'll do that. I mean, some things come to my mind is that, we were talking earlier about over the last several years, climate anxiety, and Andrew O'Grady and I have spoken about that in the past.
Yeah, it's a real thing.
it is a real thing, particularly in young. And Robbie and I were listing, all of these movies that have been out over the last 10, 15, 20 years, with the climate change stuff happening. And but what's happening, globally, as you said, the COVID, the lockdowns during COVID, the isolation, the influence of social media and influencers, all those, Jesse Cerubi, are all factors.
Absolutely. And, there's something else that we might not think about generally, because we're always thinking about what would cause an increase.
Right.
The other thing that sometimes leads to increases in medication or diagnosis is increased detection of disease that might have been there anyway. So since the pandemic, with telehealth having an incredible effect on the access to care that people can have around the world, but certainly across our nation, there may also be an increase in detection. I am not belittling all of those other factors that I'm sure actually are increasing the incidence, but there's probably also something to do with increased detection, right, which is really important. If you can get people care, you can increase the actual diagnosis rates and medication rates.
Sure, sure. And then the other thing that you and I have spoken, and Leah Feldman and I have spoken about, is our diet and nutrition. We know now that that's absolutely critical.
Yeah, indeed. And that's part of self-care, being September Self-Care Awareness Month, absolutely. But yeah, you're totally right. There's so many components to our overall well-being, right? From mental to physical, emotional, spiritual, social health, all of it.
And when Robbie told me we were going to talk about the self-care awareness, and I had seen this article, about the antidepressants, I said to Robbie, I said, well, this all fits together. And because, Jesse, the point that you just made, if you take a little of this and a little of this and a little of this and a little of this, you add it all together, and for some folks, it does become overwhelming.
Yes. And that's what self-care is really about. It's being proactive and basically taking the steps that we can to manage and to improve our physical health, our mental health, emotional, our even social connection, our spiritual well-being. All of those are a part of our health. So though all of those things can come together to be the detriment of our health, they can also come together to be the boost to our health and the way of being healthy.
Sure, the antidote to the problem or the cure for
the problem. Exactly, yeah. It can go in both directions. Yep. You know, we can't do all of them all the time, but we can always do some of them at least some of the time, and every little bit helps.
So what are the some of those things that folks can start doing today to move incrementally in a positive direction?
That's a really good question. And of course, I know we're going to be talking about our 52 End Stigma campaign, and that has to do with moving and talking and thriving. So as you always say, it all fits together. It's mm-hmm. all connected. But for self-care, there are a number of aspects of self-care, and I pretty much just mentioned like the pillars of overall well-being. Like, we're not just physical health, and we're not just mental health. We're also our social connections, our spiritual health, and that doesn't have to be religion. Spiritual well-being is a connection to something greater than oneself, mm-hmm. And a feeling of purpose within, you know, whether it's your family, within your community, within the world, beyond, that would be considered your spiritual health. Your emotional health is your understanding of your own emotions and your ability to express emotions in a healthy way, being able to set boundaries and to be aware of emotions, basically, and how they affect you and what you do with them. Our mental health is obviously things like being, seeking help if you feel like you're becoming mentally overwhelmed, having healthy stress management techniques, coping techniques, and of course seeking support from those people around you or from professionals. And then there's our physical health, and that's a really important one. Our physical health is a really necessary part of even your mental health management, and that would include your healthy diet, exercising regularly, or just physical activity. Sometimes exercise can be daunting to people, but regular physical activity, free bodily movement, getting enough sleep. And then something that we often forget when we think about self-care is actually primary and preventive care. That means getting your regular physical health checkups and seeking those preventive screenings that are critical to managing our health long-term. And feeling like we have control over our physical health. We often when we think of self-care, we think of, walking, journaling, spending time with friends, whatever brings you a sense of peace and calm. And that is really important, too. And that is important to all aspects of our overall well-being, and is a good part of self-care, and is going to be different for everybody. What brings them peace, what brings them calm, what brings them down. And a lot of the time that has to do with stress management, but there are other components of self-care, like I just mentioned, that are really important.
Jesse, hold those thoughts. We're going to take a quick break. Jesse Cerubi, Family Services, 816. We're going to hear from the Zolls with a sports report with some help from our friends at Atlas Star, and then back to my really important conversation with Jesse here on The Beacon.
It's Hudson Valley Focus with Tom Sipas on The Beacon.
820 on Hudson Valley Focus on The Beacon. Back to my conversation with Jesse Cerubi, Chief Program Officer, Family Services. And so, Jesse, what's good about here, I expect I'm going to have Andrew O'Grady on tomorrow, and then Tracy Haight on with me on Friday. So we'll tie all this together with how we you know, take better care of ourselves. And the point that you were making heading out to the break is those incremental steps. And there isn't anybody that should feel intimidated by this. Just take one foot in front of the other and just do it. You know, maybe reach out to somebody else in the sense that, hey, let's just go for a walk, Jesse, and let's get moving.
That's right. Yeah. And that's what our 52 End Stigma is partially about. You know, our 52 End Stigma campaign is a campaign to end mental health stigma, or the negative attitudes that surround mental health challenges that people have, and also mental health care. And we call it Move, Talk, Thrive. That's our motto for 52 End Stigma. And it's about getting out there at really whatever level people are comfortable with, but just taking that first step, moving, talking about your feelings, talking about mental health, and normalizing the talk about mental health and the reality of mental health, and therefore allowing people to feel more comfortable to be able to talk about it themselves and seek care and seek help when they need it. We know that 52 million Americans, and probably actually more by that now, that's a slightly older statistic, experience a mental health condition every year, and at least half of them will not seek help, partially because of lack of access, also because of lack of awareness, and because of stigma. And that stigma actually keeps people from seeking the help that they need. And at Family Services, we are, again, our third year in a row, we are launching a 52 End Stigma campaign during the month of October, where we are inviting people to walk, bike, hike. I have a friend who paddleboarded 52 miles during the month of October. She truly did paddleboard 52 miles, and I will tell you, I'm sorry, I got off track, but she, not only did she do 52 miles, but she tracked it on Strava, where you can actually see the route. And wrote the word 52 End Stigma, which was amazing. So we are asking people to move, basically, worth 52 miles during the month of October to represent those 52 million Americans, and talk to people about mental health, talk to people about emotional challenges, connect with people, really. And that's how we all thrive together. And so if I can, I'll direct people to our campaign website, which is 50, which is the word 50 spelled out, F-I-F-T-Y, 2, it's the number 2, endstigma.org. That's 52, End Stigma. A little play on words there. You know, our whole campaign is to end stigma.
Right.
And though we are encouraging everybody to move and talk and thrive throughout the month of October, and to share their progress on social media and talk about this campaign on social media, on October 25th, there is a big event where a number of us will be running 52 miles during the day on October 25th. We're running from Pauling this year and ending at Health Alliance, Westchester Medical Center's Health Alliance Hospital on Broadway in Kingston, where we will be having a Thrive Fest health fair, all on October 25th. And we would really love people to join us. So we're looking for people to join our campaign, Move, Talk, Thrive, share the good news and resources on social media, and join us at that Thrive Fest on October 25th in Kingston.
Well,
so that was a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot. And that's, on with me, Jesse Cerubi, Chief Program Officer, Family Services. But Jesse, and I guess I don't want people to feel overwhelmed by this. I want to go back and say, you know, for the second or third or fourth time, incremental steps. Get off of autopilot. You know, when you've been at rest, and you know, it's easy to become a hermit, let's say, and getting out of that social isolation. We know now that social isolation is absolutely deadly, but it's hard. It's really difficult to break out of that. You know, it's almost as if there's a physical barrier holding you back, but it's not. And just
right, and
getting
it's really
moving.
Hard to take that step outside.
Yes.
You know, it's but it is amazing what happens if you can take that one step. And I don't even just mean exercise. I mean, you know, get outside in the neighborhood and watch your neighbors go by. Say hello to somebody. Go to the grocery store. Whatever it is, when we're feeling isolated, it's almost like a vicious cycle, right?
The more you stay in.
Yes. You know, it gets harder and harder. But when you get yourself outside, it's like it activates a different part of your brain,
right.
A different part of awareness, which is actually true. And it allows you to pull yourself out of that place that is so deep down inside yourself and self-focused. It pulls you outside, and it's actually motivating and energizing to have interactions out in the world. You know, so whether it's the first step on doing 52 miles during the month of October, which, by the way, if you do 5 days a week at 2.6 miles, we'll get you there. But if that's too much, that's okay. It doesn't really matter if you do the 52 or not.
Sure.
That's just like a big goal, you know, but it's really about just taking that first step. Take the step outside. Take the step to talk to somebody. Take the step to get out of the house. To connect with somebody, let them know how you're feeling. I think that's more important even. You know, it really is, you know, I appreciate you always bringing up, you often bring up social isolation. And it is, you know, it's a real stuck place.
Oh,
and it's
yeah.
very common.
Yeah.
You know,
Jesse,
so we know they're not alone.
We live in such an area here. As I was listening to what you were saying, I was like touring the Hudson Valley. You know, I was thinking about Poets Walk up in Rhinebeck, or the, you know, we have all of our rail trails. We have, you know, different, go out to the pick your own farmers markets, take the family, you know, take the kids, call grandma and grandpa, whatever, but get out and do it.
We are blessed. Yeah,
we really are. I mean, gosh, when I was listening to you talking about that, and as I say, traveling mentally around on both sides of the river, up and down, we've got places like, you know, Vanderbilt's where people go and walk, or Mohonk Preserve. Cary Institute for Ecosystem Studies out off of Route 44 and 82.
Right. And they're free open spaces that people can go, you know, right along our rivers. There's all these trails along our rivers. So beautiful.
Yeah, it sure is.
Yeah, gorgeous, you know.
If
it's not exercise, it's okay, you know, just getting out.
Yes, we have about 1 minute left, and so 52, and that's FIFTY, the numeral 2, endstigma.org. And the point about, you know, doing it over the month of October, it's easily accomplished. And I'm really glad that Andrew is going to be on with me tomorrow, and then Tracy on Friday, to just reinforce this message. Point being that we have lots of resources here in the Valley, probably more than many areas have, and just overcoming the stigma to ask for it and just really literally get moving.
Yeah. Even if that get moving is again, just down to the river and find some peace, find some beauty, talk to someone. That's okay if that's the start of the get moving. You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, you can go up off of Route 9, Quiet Cove, the county park up there, or Bodwin Park, and just sit and enjoy. Turn the news off. Get off of social media for a while. Give your brain a rest.
That's right. And that's part of self-care there, Tom, as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. Thanks, Jesse. We'll talk again real soon. You have a wonderful day.
I look forward to it.
Thank you.
Yes, you too. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. 8:30 on Hudson Valley Focus Live. That's, I have to remind myself to send Jesse that article I talked about the antidepressants. That's an article from the National Institute of Health. Again, let's get moving. Back in a minute on The Beacon.